thank you for tuning in to 90.1 FM KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio. I'm Maria Vasquez-Boyd, and we've got ArtSpeak Radio on air right in the middle of our spring pledge drive, fun drive for KKFI, trying to keep our radio station going a few dollars at a time. Today we have a room full of guests that I know you'll enjoy listening to if you tuned in through your phone or your radio at home or your car. Listening online is another way to hear us too. I have Randy Atwood in the studio, Caleb Lee Bowman, Annette Billings, Jenny Mendez. They're all here to talk about some really terrific stuff that's happening in the community and about their work. So let me begin with Randy Atwood. He grew up, as he says, he grew up on the grounds of a Kansas insane asylum where his dad was a dentist. He attended the University of Kansas during the troubled 1960s, and he received a degree in art history. He taught writing in Italy and Japan, had a 16-year career in newspapers as a reporter, editor, and column for winning. He won many major awards in all categories. He turned to healthcare public relations, serving as director of university relations at KU Med Center. He finished his career as media relations officer at the Nelson Atkins Museum of Art, and currently he's retired and writing fiction. Welcome to ArtSpeak Radio, Randy.
Thank you, Maria. It's really a pleasure to be here.
Well, you know, I was going through your biography and looking at your books. You've written a lot over the years. Is it?
Well, Maria, I've been writing since I was in college. So,
yeah.
The first half of my adult career was in newspaper journalism, and I think that's probably the best thing that happened to me as a writer is that not only was I writing stories and being an editor and writing editorials, but I also started writing a personal column.
Uh-huh.
And I think it was writing that personal column that allowed me to discover what my writing voice is.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the most important thing for any writer. I didn't feel that I was really completing good work in fiction until I was in my 40s. But what happens is when you complete something, you want to try and get it published. And when you send it out, you get rejections.
Yeah,
and that's not the greatest thing to happen for a writer because it's not terribly encouraging.
In good company.
In good company. But you know what? There have been a couple times in my life and career as a writer that I actually stopped writing.
Mm-hmm.
I said, that's it. I'm not any good. I'm going to give it up. But I discovered something, and what I discovered was that I was more miserable not writing and then I was writing and not getting published.
Yeah.
So, you know, you kind of keep at it. Stories come. You get a beginning of a sentence. And some of those become novels and stories and novellas. But, you know, I still didn't have any publishing success. And I've always been kind of shy. I didn't want to share what I was doing with my family or my friends because I thought it put them in a rather awkward position because if they said they liked it, could I believe them?
Yeah.
And if
yeah.
they didn't like it, could they be honest with me? What I always wanted was a reader that I didn't know from Adam. You know, that's what I always wanted to try to find. And in 2005 at KU Med Center, I and my entire department got laid off. So I had a lot of free time on my hands. And I tried again, seriously, to acquire an agent, to send things out to publishers. Still with no success. I thought what I was doing was pretty good, but I said, you know, you may be delusional. Maybe it isn't any good.
Yeah.
And so I had an idea for a comedy, and I had never written a comedy. But I said to myself, you know, if you can write something and it makes someone laugh, you can't deny that the writing is successful. I wrote a comedy called Spill in 3 months. It's a novel. And it's the quickest I've ever written anything. I think the longest it took me to write, I've got a novella that took me 30 years to write, a literary piece.
Yeah.
But anyway, with Spill, I actually finally got an agent. And she traded it to the big traditional publishers. We came close, but no real cigar. But during that process, and this was the spring of 2011, she had editors at several different houses urge her to urge me to go ahead and self-publish something I always been against. I always thought that's just an admission of defeat, and I'm not going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
But this was the time when Kindle was hitting big. And so having editors at traditional houses say, go ahead and self-publish, and of course what they were doing was they were using the writer to try and do some self-marketing, and if it was successful, then maybe they take it on.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought, okay, I taught myself how to do that. I self-published one work as a sort of an experiment, and then I self-published the work that they mentioned, Spill. And then I thought, gee whiz, I've got all this other stuff, and I'm not getting any younger. I know now how to get it out there. I used friends to do cover art and paid some and paid for professional proofreaders and editors. So today I've got 8 novels out there, 4 of which then got picked up by a small press in Washington, D.C., and I've got 2 collections of short stories.
Terrific.
So it's almost more than 500,000 published words. And the great thing that happened, I can't say I've had great financial success. I've paid my costs, and I'm happy with that. But the great thing that happened for me was that I started getting reviews from people that I don't know from Adam. They're very good reviews, honest reviews. And it's really rewarding when you see that you touch somebody with your writing at a very deep level. My writing is sort of all over the genre, man, from literary to the comedy to mysteries to some very dark suspense. And I think, but everything I do, I think, has to touch something that's rather deep within me. And when you express that successfully, I hope, and you reach a reader and it touches them, that's a tremendous reward.
Well, let me just give some of our listeners titles of your work. You've got Crazy About You, Hospital Days, Heart Chance, Rabbletown, and I think there's something else with Rabbletown, but I missed that.
Rabbletown has a title that's self-explanatory. It's called Rabbletown, Life in These United Christian States of Holy America. It's a dystopia.
The Strange Case of James Kirkland Pelley.
That's a long one, and people who are H.P. Lovecraft fans will recognize the takeoff on that title.
But that's also in a collection of work, and then you can find it on Kindle aside from
the information about me on Amazon.com. Just remember, Atwood is with 2 T's.
Yeah, because you know what? There's Randy Atwood, illustrator. I mean, a lot of different names come up, so we want you, Randy. I do want to talk about the most recent work called The Fat Cat.
Well, I was just working on The Fat Cat this morning because I thought it was done. And one thing I'd kind of urge young writers in this, it's so easy now to self-publish that as soon as they have a work done, they sort of rush to publish it. And I think you should sit on something at least 4 to 6 months and go back. The Fat Cat, I started out doing as a noir mystery. And I don't give a spoiler here, but it turned out that book has a happy ending, so I'm not quite sure what it is.
But it's different from the other collection of work that you've published because, again, you're still in the middle of working it out. But also, there's a fun little support me sort of event that's happening for the cover image.
I'm afraid my Kickstarter project was unsuccessful. I was using a Kickstarter project to come up with the cover art. That didn't work for me.
Well, like I said, you've written so many books, and some of them have locations based here in Kansas City.
Yes. For example, The Strange Case of James Kirkland Pelley, as an example, when we moved into Kansas City in about 92, we moved into close to Luce Park, and they were draining the pond at that time to reconstruct it. And it gave me an idea for a Lovecraftian type of book. And I think if Stephen King had written it, he would have called it the Undead Zone.
And then Blue Kansas City, I think that has another Kansas City location. It has the snooker table?
Blue Kansas Sky is set in my old hometown of Larned, Kansas, and it's set in a snooker hall.
Okay.
Yeah. In fact, if you want to talk about Larned a little bit, because, the old adage is write about what you know, And as you mentioned, I did grow up on the grounds of an insane asylum.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So one of the first.
And your father was the dentist.
My father
there
was a dentist the, there, and mm-hmm. the state provided housing on the grounds. And at that time, it was a 1,500 patient city.
Wow.
My first job was working in the cafeteria as a dishwasher.
Mm-hmm.
So one of my first completed works is about Brad, who's a high school junior. And it creates a week in his life that'll grow him up faster than he could have ever wanted.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're interested, I could read the introduction.
Would you please?
To that.
Yeah. I would love that.
Again, this is from Crazy About You. Children who grow up on military bases are called Army brats. Asylum brats were those few of us who grew up on the grounds of state insane asylums, where our parents who worked there had housing provided by the state. We weren't shoved from base to base, state to state, country to country, so we couldn't claim we didn't put down roots. Instead, we were buffeted between the bizarre personalities among whom we lived, if we chose to know the lives of those mostly benign inmates, excuse me, patients, from whose lunacy our parents earned their livings. My sister Sally ignored them, not me. I got into trouble early in my life by making the acquaintance of so many of those twisted souls. My mother almost had a heart attack when I wandered away at the age of 4 and showed up back at her door holding the hand of a huge man who wasn't insane, just retarded. He had the good sense to bring me home before I had gone too far away. For his good deed, he was screamed at by my mother, who called the campus police, who hauled him away, tears streaming down his big, uncomprehending face. When I was 9, I got swept up in the scheme of one loony who told me that if we collected 100,000 cigarette wrappers, the tobacco company would redeem them for a wheelchair. So when I could, I joined him in scrounging for the cellophane-wrapped papers and tying them in neat packets of 50 each. Finally, Dad called several tobacco companies and broke the news to me that there was no such offer. I helped the patient finish the task, however. Several good things came from this nutty venture. When the 100,000 number was reached, the guy seemed to recover his wits enough to be discharged. I never took up smoking, and a couple of years later, the discharged patient sent the hospital a wheelchair. The hospital was located 3 miles outside of a small town that was in the middle of a state in the middle of the nation. It was the dumping ground for the retarded, the senile, the schizos, and the paranoids, the brain-damaged, adolescent dopers, the suicidal depressed, the manics, maniacs, and the perpetually confused. In one building, the Pinnell building, the one with barbed wire around it, housed the criminally insane. It even had its own small hospital ward, and Dad had an auxiliary dental office there. Patients were never taken from the Pinnell building unless they were judged to become mentally competent to stand trial for their crimes, or if they had committed because they had been found innocent by reason of insanity for their crimes, released when they became sane, which didn't happen very often, if ever. They said it would happen to Michael Frome, who at the age of 14 had killed his mother, father, little sister, and brother, and then sat in the house with their dead bodies until a neighbor happened upon the scene and called the sheriff. Since he was a juvenile, he couldn't be tried as an adult, so he was committed to the Pinnell building for the criminally insane until he was 18, at which time, if he was judged to be mentally sane, he would be released. He could even claim the farm of the family he had murdered. Dad had worked on his teeth and found him to be perfectly normal. Now that he's killed his family, Dad had said.
Wow, Randy. Just read the end of that, because I want to know what happens. No, I'm just playing with you. You know, please tell our listeners how they can find you on the Internet for more information.
Yeah, sure. I have 8 novels and 2 collections of shorter works.
Mm-hmm.
Available in paperback.
Mm-hmm.
And all those works are also available as e-books.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the works that are collected in the short works are also available as individual pieces,
mm-hmm.
some as less as 99 cents. And those can all be found on Amazon.
Mm-hmm.
If you have a different kind of e-reader, go to your Barnes & Noble or your Kobo or wherever your e-reader is based.
Well, and they can certainly go to Randy Atwood, that's with 2 T's, randyatwood.blogspot.com.
Yes, that's my blog.
Very good. Randy, thank you so much for coming into Art Speak Radio today to meet with us. We'll have you back because I would like for you to read more. We're in the middle of our spring pledge drive, so thank you for driving in this crazy torrential rain.
My car needed washing. Thank you, Maria.
I hope your windows are up, honey. All right. Thank you so much. I want to say hello, radio husband.
Hello, radio wife.
Thank you for coming in. What you got?
We just want to let people know that our phone lines are open right now at 888-931-0901. Once again, I'll repeat that number for you. It's 888-931-0901. This is community radio, and community radio is a little bit different than commercial radio. We're not programmed to serve commercial interests or to make owners or stockholders wealthy. Every dollar that we raise through this fund drive goes to help provide news, conversations like what you're hearing today on Art Speak Radio with Maria Vasquez-Boyd, and music of the highest quality. We bring in hundreds of local artists onto the airwaves. I believe that in one week you could hear over 2,000 different songs on this radio station.
Absolutely. Well, and if you go to our website, www.kkfi.org, you can pledge there, but you can also look at the range of programming that we have weekly, and you know, from it's nonstop. It's 24 hours, you know, and that makes us very different, and it makes us important to be able to serve the community. And I also want to
we have a T-shirt. Yeah. If you donate if you donate $90,
you're giving it away, honey. You're giving it at a discount.
It sizes small through 4XL, so there's something for everybody in this T-shirt, and it's only $90, and it's a new design. It actually has 9 circles.
Designed by Bill Sundahl,
By Bill Sundahl. Also, for $150, you can become a guest DJ. You can come on a music show and bring music that fits that show. If it's a midday medley, you can kind of play whatever you like. And we'll help engineer the show for you. If you do $200, you can get the T-shirt and the guest DJ. And a lot of our programmers started off as guest DJs. Diana Lynn on the Tasty Brew Show on Tuesday mornings.
Absolutely, yeah.
Artie McDonald, who does the Road Trip and Blues Show on Tuesday afternoons. And we want to let you know that
How much we love the station.
And yeah. ArtSpeak Radio has unique gifts at the $50 level. Your pledge of $50 will earn you the opportunity to record 2 poems and or prose in the recording studio with Maria Vasquez-Boyd, who's the host and producer of ArtSpeak Radio. You can make a gift. Prose, poems, limited to 10 minutes in length. Content must be suitable for general audiences. Minimal editing also is required. And the recording sessions by appointment with Maria at a $50 pledge by calling 888-931-0901. KKFI will assume no ownership of this recorded material, and you just need to bring a flash drive so that you can download your poems and take them home.
Absolutely. And that's a really good way to link that to your website. Make a CD, you know, from that flash drive. I just thought it was an opportunity for people to you know, really kind of maybe listen to their own work and share it with others.
I love it. A $50 donation, if you call 888-931-0901 and donate at least $50, Maria will help you record 2 poems here in our professional production studio. A lot of people I know got their first recordings done at the radio station.
Isn't that wonderful?
In their town.
We're happy to offer that service to you when you call 888-931-0901.
And congratulations, Maria, for doing such a great job with ArtSpeak Radio. I'm so proud of you.
Well, you are my mentor and my boss, Applesauce, so thank you so much. Bless your heart.
I love you.
I love you. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back with ArtSpeak Radio.
Supporting 90.1 FM, Gladstone Area Chamber of Commerce, sponsoring the 19th annual Gladstone Summertime Blues Festival, starting at 5 p.m. Friday, June 5th, and 1 p.m. Saturday, June 6th, at Oak Grove Park, 76th and North Street, Gladstone, Missouri. Featured acts on Friday include Coyote Bill Boogie Band, The Bel Air, and Junior Watson. And on Saturday, Ison Taylor and Brandon Huston. The Confessors tribute to Lee McBee, featuring R.J. Nisho, Brandon Santini Band, Kelly Hunt, and Jimmy D. Lane. All details at GladstoneChamber.com.
You're listening to Art Speak Radio on 90.1 FM, KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio. I'm Maria Vasquez-Boyd, and I want to welcome Caleb Lee Bowman, who grew up on a 2,000-acre farm in Chillicothe, Missouri, and lived and worked in New York City and Santa Fe, New Mexico. He received his BFA in sculpture from the Kansas City Art Institute and is completing the Sustainable Architecture Program at Paolo Solari's Arcosanto in Arizona. He held assistant positions in sculpture, film, photography, and currently he's teaching drawing and sculpture at Briarcliff. Oh, he's also taught drawing and sculpture at Briarcliff College of Design in Long Island, New York. Bowman is a professional artist, contractor, and principal designer for Constructible, Inc. His primary media is sculpture and drawing. In addition to his studio practice over the past 2 years, he's found a passion for building interactive hands-on educational exhibits and play structures for children. Welcome to Art Speak Radio, Caleb.
Thank you.
Again, I want to thank you for coming in. It's been a crazy day with our pledge drive. And I do want to just take a minute and thank our lovely friend, Jan Rogue, who pledged for the recording of poetry and prose. Thank you so much. We truly appreciate that. Caleb, you have something coming up tomorrow, right?
I do.
What's going on?
I have a preview to the show at MLB Gallery down on 2020 Baltimore.
Uh-huh.
It's two series of past work and new work.
Mm-hmm.
The show's called Between Mass and Gravity,
mm-hmm.
Nowhere to Go But Here. And the two series are Transcending the Linear, which is the past work from last year,
mm-hmm.
and then the new work, which is called Indivisible, and those are watercolors.
Wow. So that is at the MLB Designs and Boutique at 2020 Baltimore, tomorrow from 5 to 8.
Correct.
So how many pieces of work do you have up that will find on the walls and in the gallery space?
I have five pieces from the Transcending the Linear,
uh-huh.
One large triptych, and mm-hmm. then four smaller individual pieces,
mm-hmm.
And those are the black and white pieces. And then I have, I believe, 10 of the new Indivisible
mm-hmm.
pieces,
mm-hmm.
and then I have 29 works on paper.
Wow.
That are kind of the progression between the first series and the mm-hmm. second series.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of the main thing with it, is it really is a process, because they're all studies for sculpture.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But it's the process from which one idea started and it is evolving into the next.
So what do you propose the sculptures to, what are they made of or out of? And
well, the new series, you know, it started with ideas of space and perspective.
Mm-hmm.
And then how do you define those things that aren't necessarily have things that people can attach memory and those that mm-hmm. types of things to.
Mm-hmm.
So I, by basically process of elimination, I've come to using light and space.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So all of last year I was working and studying with prisms, and so
yeah.
how to refract and mm-hmm. reflect light.
Mm-hmm.
You can't always build a sculpture and have it come out immediately
right.
how you envision it.
Right.
So there's lots of steps and process that get mm-hmm. you to a final piece.
Mm-hmm.
And so the black and white pieces really help me understand how to define a space from multiple perspectives.
Mm-hmm.
Once I had kind of resolved that through the drawing and sculpting process on paper, then it evolved into how do you start to define that space
mm-hmm.
once you create a perspective.
Mm-hmm.
And then, so I started using light, sunlight, and refracting it
mm-hmm.
with prisms.
Mm-hmm.
One thing I noticed that whenever you see light being refracted, it's not something that's really
present. It's almost very, it's very subtle and hard to see. If you think about how you look at a rainbow in the sky,
very fleeting.
And it's like the transparency and the colors kind of intertwine between where you're at and where you're looking. So I wanted to kind of capture that and try to start to understand it. Lots of things happen in that process. Reading books that I don't really know much about.
Well, and I, you know, that's a great way to work. And certainly your background in photography sort of filled in some of that information for you, would you say?
Definitely, you know, seeing the, you know, giving yourself a defined parameter and then taking in the light. And then also back through what you're when you're looking through an aperture or a lens, then you have to create a frame for yourself as well, and also make a perspective of your own. So that definitely helps.
So do you have somewhat of a timeline, or are you still sort of working out the space? Do you have some sort of a timeline when these sculptures will actually come to fruition, will actually begin to work on them?
Well, I'm always working on them.
It will.
You know, one thing with the process is with the amount of time that I've kind of been making art and in the process of creating sculpture, you almost have to set up the parameters and just be, you know, you have to be diligent and work through stuff, but it's something that kind of happens on its own. So you kind of got to be ready for whenever it happens. You know, I'm always testing something or trying something. I think that all of my work is in a continual state of reworking in a, in a process. But, you know, as you make a breakthrough on one side, you start to identify different obstacles on the other. So, you know, there's a, I have a couple things planned for later this year.
Like what? Tell us, tell us. I can't wait.
Well, the, since the, through the drawing, the watercolors that I did, I really started to understand that kind of diffusion and how that kind of, how things can overlap and create new spaces. So there is, in the makings of actually creating a structure that can refract and reflect and create that actual light phenomenon and experience that you're seeing on paper, so from all the different perspectives. Basically, it's like a prism structure.
For our listeners who are tuned in, do you have website information that you can share with us? Or
No website, but I do. I'm CalebBowman@yahoo.com.
And I think if you go to I think MLB Designs and Boutique, their website may have some of your work featured. Certainly when I created the event page for Facebook and for our website, I used one of your images. So very, very good. Tomorrow night, June 4th, from 5 to 8 at 2020 Baltimore, you'll have your reception and your exhibition. Congratulations, Caleb.
Thank you so much.
I want to thank you so much for coming on the program and sharing your work and your energy and just your goodness about you. Thank you for coming in and sharing your,
thank you for having
yourself
me.
With us on ArtSpeak Radio. We'll be right back in just a bit. Art Speak Radio. I'm Maria Vasquez-Boyd, and we're in the middle of our Spring Pledge Drive. I want to thank the beautiful, lovely Elizabeth Anderson, who says, I love Maria, Mark Manning, and Annette Billing, and I support Art Speak Radio. Thank you so much, Elizabeth Anderson, for your generosity and for the work that you do here at the station. Please call 888-931-0901 or go to our website and pledge kkfi.org. I want to introduce, she needs no introduction. She's sort of a staple here at KKFI, and we love that about her.
Thank you.
Annette Billings is a multi-talented, free-spirited, extremely busy lady. In addition to being a mother, grandmother, and daughter, she's also a nurse, writer, a poet, an actress, director, and an advocate and activist for victims of abuse and LGBT rights. And in her free time, she is active in her church, being a lay delegate. She helps run an open mic poetry night the first Tuesday of every month and has been a member of a writer's group called Table for Eight for 30 years. Welcome, my friend, Annette Billings.
Good afternoon.
Yes. Listen, you've got lots going on.
I do.
You've got an upcoming event. Let's talk about that. Tell our listeners you're going to participate in.
This coming Saturday at the Town Crier in Emporia, mm-hmm. I'll be participating with about 49 other poets in their annual poetry extravaganza. So that's this Saturday in Emporia.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
And then on the 19th, I'll be here in Kansas City at the Writer's Place
mm-hmm.
with a program called Celebration of Queerness. Myself and about seven other mm-hmm. authors will be there that mm-hmm. evening. So I'm really excited about both of those.
Really a lot of our favorite people, Miguel Morales, Wayne
yes.
Coutois, yourself, and I don't have a list in front of me, but
yes.
writersplace.org is the site where you'll get
yes,
more information,
we'll get more information about that.
Because that's at 3607 Pennsylvania, right?
Yes, yes.
Terrific.
Great. I'm really excited about that. There's also, on the 14th of this month, I'll be at the Universalist Church in Lawrence
mm-hmm.
Doing a fundraiser reading there. And in the 28th of this month, I'll be in Topeka at the Universalist Church there as part of their worship service. So lots of opportunities to read and share my work coming
I
up.
I wasn't lying. You are an extremely busy
yes, lady. Yes. And also this Saturday in Topeka, we are doing a recognition of Gwendolyn Brooks' birthday.
Oh, terrific.
Gwendolyn Brooks was born in Topeka. So this year we're doing once again for Gwen and celebrating all that she created
wow.
and shared as
wow.
poet.
Terrific. So, do you want to read some of your work today?
I'd like to
do
that.
You've come a long way in this, in
yes,
this rain.
Yes, lots
so.
Of rain.
Yeah.
What I'd like to read first is a poem that I wrote after receiving many, many rejection slips from...
you know what? That seems to be
yes,
a pattern.
It's part of the writing journey to be rejected, and becoming comfortable with rejection is very necessary. So this one is called Apples, Peaches, Pears, and Poems. There is an orchard in my soul where poems fall from me like fruit. Self-contained testimonials to every season I have lived. Some fall still hard and green, blown too soon from me by an ill wind. Others fall lush and sweet, just right ripe for some mouth to recite. Part lay rotting on the ground, worm-ridden, awaiting validation from a harvester who never comes. The rest hang embryonic, a little more than a blossom's promise. Well, I'll take these, you say, as you bruise my best and discard my worst. But I am absorbed in gathering them all, too absorbed, in fact, to acknowledge you, fool that you are, who thinks I grow them solely for your consumption. And that one I wrote just as a reminder to myself.
Oh my gosh,
that,
that's beautiful.
Thank you. First and foremost, I write out of a need to put into words those important things that we feel and
mm-hmm.
experience.
Mm-hmm.
And while acceptance is good, self-acceptance is pivotal and primary for me.
And one thing about that, it's really visceral. I mean, I can almost eat those words.
Yes,
you know.
Yes.
You have a website also that
I do.
Folks can.
And it is AnnetteFullOfHope. Dot com. Mm-hmm. That's AnnetteFullOfHope.com.
Now, for this celebration of queerness, will you be reading new work or work like this?
I'll be reading a work from my collection of poetry, Annette Full of Hope, that was published in January of this year. Mm-hmm. So I will be reading selections from that book that's available on Amazon. Yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
So, you know, every time you come to the station, I it's such a joy because I find out something new about you and your work. Did you want to read another poem for us, please?
This next poem.
I love this so much. It's so good.
Yeah, I like that. It's called Laundry. And we hear a lot about everybody has dirty laundry.
Sure.
But this kind of puts a different spin on laundry. a different spin.
Okay.
Laundry. I hang my soul's garments outside to dry. In the yard, on the line, in front of God and everyone to see. Nosy neighbors, incomplete strangers who drive by slowly to gawk. Deeply stained articles of my life flapping in the breeze, irregular edges, sewn-on patches, scars soaking up sun, unmended tears visible to the naked eye. I put them out there on purpose. I pin them up with defiance. I set them there with premeditation and let them fly like flags. This I do in hopes some splintered spirit will happen by and see my soul's garments looking uncannily like their own, ones they are too ashamed to show. They will comprehend that such as they are, my clothes are clean and worthy of bright air and fresh sun. May it release them, embolden them, dare them to free their own soul's apparel from dark, dank places and commit them to fresh winds and bright sun and to drape them in triumph beside mine.
Wow.
Thank you.
Wow, those are beautiful.
Yeah.
Such powerful words.
Yeah. That comes from my personal, I think, well, all of my poems are in some way autobiographical, but that one comes from my experiences, dark experiences, as a survivor of abuse as a child, a survivor of sexual assault, and as a survivor of domestic violence, that we all have laundry that's worthy to be aired and seen, and we're just all worthy, period.
I believe that.
Yes.
You know, in the way that you read your words, too, I'm mesmerized. You know,
you have
a terrific way of...
Thank you.
I hate to say this, performance, but it really is a
theater is another love of mine. Yeah. So it,
of course.
And actually, I was quite shy as a small girl.
And
it was the arts that actually rescued me. Rescued me.
Yes, your heart.
Yeah.
We're talking to Annette Billings. She's at AnnetteFullOfHope.com. Annette, she's got many things going on, but I do want to say the Celebration of Queerness is happening June 19th at the Writer's Place, writersplace.org, for more information. Annette, thank you so much for
coming. You're welcome.
And
thank you for inviting me.
Absolutely. Yeah. Anytime. You just need to move to Kansas City. Nothing wrong with Topeka.
No. Lots of art there.
We'll share.
But I'll come visit anytime.
Okay.
Anytime. Thank you.
Very good. We'll take a real quick break and we'll be right back. listening to Art Speak Radio. I'm Maria Vasquez-Boyd. I want to remind our listeners that we're in the middle of our KKFI Spring Fun Drive. And as an Art Speak Radio thank you gift, I want to tell our listeners that for $50 in support of KKFI, your pledge earns you the opportunity to record two poems or prose in the recording studio with me right here in the station at 39th and Main. What a terrific gift. You know, just give yourself or someone the gift of poetry or prose. Call 888-931-0901. Poems and prose are limited to 10 minutes. I'll just do a little minimal editing, and KKFI will not resume any of the ownership of your recorded work. So call 888-931-0901, or you can talk to any of our volunteers that are there standing by to take your call. I would like to introduce our next guest, and I know we're just filled up with really terrific talent here in the studio. Jenny Mendez, who is the director of the Maddie Rhodes Art and Cultural Center, she has developed programming to assist in the growth and development of the arts department at Maddie Rhodes. She was also instrumental in the development of the Maddie Rhodes Gallery exhibits, programs, and the development of the summer art camps and the after-school programs. Welcome, Jenny. Thank you for coming in today.
Thanks. Always happy to be here.
Absolutely. You've got something coming up first Friday. Let's talk about that. What's going on with Maddie Rhodes?
Yeah, 2 days away. That's exciting, I know. Counting down the days. We hope the weather is going to clear up for Friday. We have lots going on in our gallery. We have, for the first time ever, we decided to do something a little bit different for First Friday. Normally we have our exhibits, you know, open, whether it's a group show or a one-person show, you know, artwork on the wall, mm-hmm. reception, mm-hmm. food, drink. This time we really wanted something different with more hands-on art actually going to be happening on Friday. We're having a tortilla pachanga, which...
what is that?
A pachanga is a party, and it's pretty much a slang word for party, a little bit more than a party, though. It includes music and dance and food and just a really good time.
Mm-hmm.
And not used too much here in Kansas City, but in other places outside of Kansas City that, you know, have Latino, you know, families mm-hmm. and our community, definitely a pachanga.
But with, you know, Maddie Rhodes, it's everyone is welcome. Everyone in the community.
Yeah.
So
yeah, and really what our tagline to this is a tortilla pachanga, a community art event, bringing people together to celebrate the tortilla through art, create, enjoy, eat, and support. Our show will open on Friday and it'll run through August 15th. So it's a mm-hmm. summer show with a lot of things happening, but of course the kickoff is the biggest time. And really it's for everybody. Mm-hmm. I mean, we'll have things for kids to do. We'll have things for adults to do, artists, non-artists. I mean, really, really anybody. We'll have street tacos that'll be for sale. Yeah. And from Taqueria Silva's that are going to come down and do some street tacos
there.
For us.
Yeah, yeah.
And then it'll spill out into the street mm-hmm. and definitely be indoor also. We have artists that have been making some prints and block prints so that they can be a part of a silent auction that we will do that night.
And I understand some of the prints are made from a tortilla press.
Yeah. Yes, we're also going to be doing that. We have using the actual tortilla press that you would make homemade tortillas, which you put your masa in a ball into the press and hold the lever down and press down. Mm-hmm. You would be able to make a tortilla. Instead of making tortillas with the presses, we're going to be actually making prints. So whether it's a child or an artist or whoever could come in and create their own design and then be able to actually print it right there on site. So it'll be a lot of fun. We're going to have button making. We have some wonderful students from the Art Institute printmaking department that have been volunteering and helping us out that are going to be doing some screen printing live.
Mm-hmm.
So lots of really fun, very interactive. you know, people can go home with their artwork and hopefully put a bid on some silent art from silent auction art pieces from some of amazing artists here in Kansas City.
And for our listeners who want to find out more information, MattyRhodes.org is the website. But I will tell everyone that Matty Rhodes Art Gallery is located at 919 West 17th in Kansas City. So that Tortilla Pachanga opens this Friday, the first Friday. What time does that begin?
It'll begin at 6 and it'll run till 10 o'clock, so we're open a little bit later so we can hopefully get some really good stuff happening. We'll have a DJ with, you know, live music playing and just a lot of fun. So it should be really great.
And this is the first ever Tortilla Pachanga for Matty Rhodes?
Yeah, and really just came from the idea of how important the tortilla is to culture, not even just the Mexican or Latino culture, but just in general, how food is such an important part of what people do in their art. Whether it's in their music, in their writings, you know, in their actual art pieces, whether it's a painting or, you know, a print. And just kind of going from that idea and then, but particularly using the tortilla as our template.
Now, you have a partnership in place, or I should say you have Norma Cantu. Is she going to be a part?
Well, I hope. We've approached, I've asked them both. Yeah. Norma Cantu and
do a little bit of history
and Dr. Carranza to hopefully be a part of possibly doing a talk or you know, and really giving us the history of what the tortilla is and what kind of conversations happen around a table because of food. And and so I just need to confirm. I know summer months are hard for they're both UMKC professors and so I'm hoping to tie down some dates with them, but we've put on our calendars to be announced, and if not them, we'll for sure find someone, but maybe with luck we'll be able to get them.
Do you want to tell our listeners about the summer art camps? When will they take place, or when will they begin?
Yeah, we have a few different art camps that will be running this summer at the Art Center and Gallery. We have our teen art camp, which starts in 2 weeks, and that will be our first one to kick off the rest of the summer, the start of the summer. And then we have our itty-bitty art camp, which is our preschool art camp, and that's a half-day program compared to a full day for the teen. And then we have 4 sessions of school-age art camp, our regular art camp that we've been doing for over 15 years. And that'll happen the second week of July, and then it'll be throughout, and the last session will be the first week of August. All sessions are different, so parents can sign the children up for multiple sessions. We really try to keep it really creative and really fun for the whole summer for us and also for the kids.
Sure. What are some of the, is it mostly art-related activities that they are involved in, or do you have other sort of things that happen with the summer camp?
Yeah, it'll be mainly visual arts. It's really what it is, arts for art's sake. It's kids being able to create art and different mediums, really learning about the different mediums, teachers, art instructors being able to share their expertise with them. So if an artist, has done bookmaking, then the kids will get to learn about bookmaking or whatever that may be. We have a ceramics instructor, and she'll be doing ceramics with the kids, which is a big one. We do fiber art where kids can learn how to do tie-dye and making pillows. Yeah. And so, yeah, a lot of fun.
One of your biggest events there at Matty Rhodes is the Day of the Dead, which I know for all purposes you have the opening in October. That way more people can experience that. So that's, I won't say that's coming up, but it really is kind of coming up because
it
takes a lot of planning.
Yeah, it's going to fly by. We're so excited to kick this show off in hopes that maybe this show can be as big as something like our Day of the Dead. You know, if we continue to do this annually, or, you know, something similar to this, where we actually have a lot of hands-on art happening in the space during our first Friday. But our Day of the Dead is what we're really known for. Our gallery opens the doors the first Friday in October, and we run for 6 weeks celebrating our loved ones in a very colorful and really celebratory way. And our opening, you know, we have a night, first Friday, the following day we have our festival, and
it's huge.
We see about over 2,000 people in a two-day period, and throughout the run, over 4,000 to 5,000 people, for sure. About 50 school groups that come from all different areas of Kansas City, and even travel sometimes 4 hours away.
And I know that Topeka recently, well, I won't say recently, in the last few years, I know they've been really active and putting on a Day of the Dead event in Topeka with art and music and poetry, writing. Yeah. All right. And Annette Billings, are you a part of that?
In North Topeka.
North Topeka. There you go. You know, I think it's interesting that, you know, people are catching on to what the spirit of Day of the Dead is. But,
It's definitely become very popular throughout the United States and in different areas. You know, Kansas City, you know, in the past 17 years that we've been doing Day of the Dead, you know, it's just become something really big, and people really latch onto it and get it and understand it. And we're hoping that throughout our shows that we can get that audience and that support from people, not just the Latino community, but really beyond. It's really the community beyond the Latino community that have supported us through the years. You know, we love our community that is the Latino families and children that come to our center. But we really want everybody. We invite anyone and everyone to come and learn more about what we do and the different programs that we provide.
Absolutely. You know, and that way you're a lot like KKFI, where you provide a service. That was a nice segue. But you know, it is about community involvement. So, you know, you provide a good service for people, and it's been a fairly long history, you know, with Maddie Rhodes. Are you hoping that the Tortilla Pachanga turns out to be huge, big, like Day of the Dead?
Yeah, I'm hoping. I mean, it's definitely based off of the idea of having something that, you know, first Fridays in June are usually a really big one. And so just like the ones in the fall for Day of the Dead in October and November, those are big. People are wanting to get outdoors. You know, the weather's okay, not too cold normally. And so for June, you know, with not being too hot, and a lot of the people are, you know, going out and really getting out there, seeing what's out there. The kids are on vacation, you know, so families are really doing stuff. So, yeah, we hope to grow it and, you know, hopefully do it again next year if this turns out the way we want. But we're really excited for Friday and really throwing a really nice community art event.
Sounds terrific. I want to thank you, Jenny, for coming in this afternoon. You know, I know you're really busy, so I'm very grateful for your appearance here on ArtSpeak Radio.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
I'd also like to thank Randy Atwood, who came in, who was our first guest, Caleb Lee Bowman, who has his reception and opening tomorrow at MLB Designs and Boutique, the wonderful and talented Annette Billings. Everyone is wonderful and talented here. But she comes from Topeka, and thank you so much for coming in. That was a long drive. And, of course, our good friend Jenny Mendez with the Maddie Rhodes Art Center. Please, I want to remind our listeners that we are in the middle of our spring pledge drive, and the ArtSpeak Radio thank you gift is, well, with your pledge of $50, or more, you earn the opportunity to record two poems or prose in our recording studio here at KKFI with me. And, you know, we'll do a little bit of editing on the work. The recording sessions will be here. You'll bring your flash drive in, you'll read your work, and then you'll take it home. So if you call 888-931-0901 with your $50 pledge, you can tell our volunteers that you want the ArtSpeak Radio thank you gift. And this is only this offer is only valid till 1 o'clock when I move on and afternoon jazz comes up. This does not apply to online pledges, and it's truly credit card only, but we want you to call 888-931-0901. Let me tell you about what's coming up next week on ArtSpeak Radio, June 10th. Alan Winkler, David Luby, and Luis Garcia will join us here in the studio June 10th. Stay tuned for Afternoon Jazz with Jeff Harshbarger at 1 o'clock. At 3 o'clock, we have Old G's Hangout with Groovy Grant. 6 o'clock is the All Souls Forum, 7 o'clock, American Roots. And then at 9 o'clock, we have the Classical Challenge with either Dr. Mike or Mark Andrus, who will host the show. I want to thank all my wonderful guests today. Thank you so much for coming out in this rain and during our spring pledge drive. We really appreciate your contribution to ArtSpeak Radio. I also want to thank our listeners who have tuned in and people our supporters who have pledged their support for KKFI. Thank you so much for calling us at 888-931-0901. Thank you for tuning in to 90.1 FM KKFI. For ArtSpeak Radio, I'm Maria Vasquez-Boyd. Honey, I'm coming home.